Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report. Joining us today, Frontier Extension District Director and Family and Community Wellness Agent, Rebecca McFarland. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Always nice to see your smiling face, and you've got a good reason to smile today because you've got some shout-outs for us.
I do. Last week, we celebrated Juanita Slichter, and she has been our office professional, mainly working in the area of 4-H youth development, but also just helping with general management of our Ottawa office for, I believe, over 12 years. And she is retiring. This Friday will be her last day in our office. So we are so sad to see her go because she has been such an excellent colleague. And she really has kept our Ottawa office going. It's very organized and positive. And we just love her. But we wish her well in her retirement. We've had the opportunity to work with who will be filling that position. Kirsten Bloffus joined us back in November, actually. And so we are so thankful the board allowed us to go ahead and hire Kirsten. She has been learning from Juanita and soaking up all that knowledge and everything. And so Kirsten Bloffus, she's a former 4-H member here in Franklin County. And so she lives in the area. And again, we're just excited to have her on board, too.
It's a happy, sad kind of thing. You're sorry to lose that familiar face that,
yes,
you know, who's also a friend.
Yes.
But to bring in a new person and to let them learn from the master.
Yes.
Is always a nice benefit. Okay. Well, we look forward to, who knows, maybe we get a chance to meet them.
Yes. Yeah.
And we talked last time about 13 ways to kill your community, which we actually want to avoid. So you've got more ways today. What have we got?
I do. Just a little bit of a recap. I am reading this book along with colleagues from K-State Research and Extension, and just a really interesting book. It's written by Doug Griffiths. So a couple of chapters that I want to share today are Don't Engage Youth. This is pretty near and dear to my heart just because of my background. And of course, we have our 4-H Youth Development Program through K-State Research and Extension. But they really broaden the definition of youth. And so they say 35 years and younger is when we say youth, according to this book, this is what we're talking about. Just remember, they're the most energetic individuals in the community. They're really full of creative ideas, innovative ideas, but yet they're not prejudiced by bad experience and fruitless pursuit, he says. So they may not have those bad experiences to draw from quite yet, although I know some probably do. And so just really open-minded and sharing their ideas and creativity. So within youth lies the hope that anything is still possible to pursue those dreams of their realization. And so I think as a community, we need to think about, are our youth involved in our councils, our chambers, our volunteer organizations, or committees? As I was preparing for the program this morning, I got to thinking about that. And we talk about the importance of involving our youth, but do they serve in leadership positions within our community? Are they involved in decision-making as well? And so they might be part of like an advisory or youth advisory we might hear about. But again, are they able to share their ideas and be creative? And then he goes on to talk about how we usually unintentionally have negative attitudes, and those attitudes, of course, our youth are listening. And so then they want to leave the community because by our attitudes, we've talked about and shown them that there are no jobs, there's no opportunities in our community, no places to live, the things to do. And I just want to share just a few ideas from the book itself, because I think it really paints the picture about what he's talking about. He says that often we go great lengths, deliberate or accidental, to convince them staying in the community assures them a lifetime of sweeping floors. I say accidental because we simply don't realize the psychological consequence of our constant negativity on impressionable youth. So again, think about the messages that we're sending our youth about our community. Are we saying there's no jobs, there's no opportunities here, no place to live? Again, just really think about what we are portraying to our youth.
And not just that, there's no place for you.
Yes.
The exclusionary thoughts of, well, you're not old enough, you don't have the experience. Well,
yes.
How are they going to get the experience if they're not included?
Exactly. And so he goes on to talk about, what are we doing as far as succession planning in our communities? again, those leadership positions, maybe it's Main Street Chamber, you know, oftentimes the boards, the committees in our communities. So talking about business succession planning as well as leadership positions. And then he shares a bit about agriculture, actually a great bit about agriculture and how they're the backbone of many of our rural communities. And again, what are we doing as far as the succession planning within the ag community as well? Another one that I want to share today, and we hear about this often this time of the year, but shop elsewhere. That's another way to kill our community, is to not shop locally. Again, we really want to keep that money in our local community. And in the book, he shares that economists say every dollar will touch an average of 7 hands within the community before it leaves. So just think about how, that, again, that money stays in our community if we shop locally. And then, of course, shopping locally creates jobs and wealth for the community. Again, what is our attitude toward new local businesses? And he really does a good job about talking about, again, our attitudes and what we are portraying within our communities by our negative or bad attitudes. And again, I just want to share a little bit from the book. He says that as much as chambers of commerce preach the message and as much as we all know the logic behind it, the reason we don't comply with the shopping local maxim is a deep-seated psychological neurosis. He said, I have said it time and time again throughout this book, attitude is what determines whether or not our community is going to be successful and whether we ourselves, for that matter, will be successful along with it. We don't outwardly choose to be unsuccessful. There is no conscious choice to fail. Failure is the prodigy of the ill thought out and illogical choices we make, choices rooted in wrong attitudes. Wrong attitudes are self-destructive, but we rarely realize the ultimate impact of our attitudes because we don't readily see the immediate consequences of them. So again, really think about our attitudes, and if there's a new business starting up in our community, what conversations are being had throughout the community about that new business, and making some judgments about if it's going to be successful or not. And then if it is successful, and those business owners, you know, are able to afford more, you know, bring wealth into the community, again, what are the negative attitudes around that as well? So really thinking about, again, our attitudes, our behaviors in our communities. I just really enjoy this book. It's called 13 Ways to Kill Your Community by Doug Griffiths. And I plan to share a few more of the ways to kill your community the next time I'm on, next year.
Good grief, next year.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to hearing more as well. You always bring us food for thought, and today you've provided a feast, so thank you for that. Definitely looking forward to some updates. Tune in tomorrow morning at 6:40 for Meredithine Extension District Agriculture and Natural Resources Agent Caitlin Barthol.